We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
John was the most incredible person I'd ever met. Aviation was John's love and passion. He was present as a Marine and present as a dad, as a husband. It was a normal, ordinary Wednesday for us. When I was picking up my daughter from daycare, my friend that I would carpool with mentioned that there was an aircraft that went down. In an instant, you know, your life does change. And you, especially having children, have to decide, how am I going to do this? I got a message from a friend, and they said, there's this foundation called Tunnel to Towers, and they said on TV that they're going to pay for your and John's mortgage. And it just felt like a frozen moment in time that I'd never forget. I'm so grateful for that.
By giving $11 a month, you're joining us on our mission to do good. Go to T2T.org. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
The field for the biggest derby of the season at Los Alamitos is set for Sunday, November 10th, the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Super Derby. The field is led by top qualifier BP Cartel Policy as he looks for his third graded derby of the year. Plus champion filly Dark Enemy. She's going after her fourth Grade 1 win. Plus the undefeated Stanley Cartel, the outstanding Boardwalk, and the Grade 1 winner Let's Leave. It's a field of super sophomores. The Los Alamitos Super Derby, Sunday, November 10th.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Well, all right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Thursday as we start ramping it up for another weekend covering the great sport of Kings Las Vegas style. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world right here at our studio station, South Point Studios, and the South Point Studios network streaming at YouTube at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in the gaming capital. We welcome you to the show and, of course, all of our other platforms that we deliver our shows to you. A lot of people out there listening over the radio, running around town here this morning. Our local anchor radio station is Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, where they have the play-by-play of the USC football games and the Rams football games on Saturdays and Sundays right here in Las Vegas. And, of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global. Got them, too. We got you covered there. You can go to either one, any one of those and get the streaming on of our shows. By the way, we archive on there as well. Audio-wise, we archive there. And, of course, phone apps that you can get for your devices. I should say device apps. Does anybody use it for a phone anymore? I don't know. But in any case, for your iPhones, Androids, you got the KSHP app that you can get to listen to us through the radio station. And, of course, the YouTube app that you can get to watch and listen to us on your devices as well, your iPhones or your Androids. And, of course, anywhere you get podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever. Welcome to the Almost Friday, Thursday, Race Day Las Vegas radio program. All right, well, this is kind of like settling in and getting back down to the basics after the big run-up to the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, we keep reflecting on the Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup races and the Breeders' Cup horses because it is our world championships, and out of that will come some Eclipse Award performances. And, of course, now the it starts with who will be Horse of the Year Eclipse Award. Some people like Torpedo Anna. Others think that Sonny Leone did enough in the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Bluegrass to win that. But, of course, Torpedo Anna beat him in the Traverse. So it'll go on and on and on. The debate for that will go on and on and on. But the thing about it, the good thing about it is, and looking at it now in retrospect, it seems that a lot of the horses that competed and won in the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar this year are going to come back next year. As a matter of fact, they think the first three finishers in the Breeders' Cup Classic are probably going to come back next year. So round two, the Breeders' Cup Classic, right back at Del Mar Racecourse. And, of course, some other horses that usually would, retire at this time of the year, their ownerships are going to have indicated that they're going to keep them on the racetrack. And so if they perform as they did this year, they may be back in the Breeders' Cup as well. So we might have a lot of previous Breeders' Cup champions returning to Del Mar next year. And that's always good for racing, and it's always good for race players. We build up our equine stars throughout the year, etc., and then some of them are off to the breeding shed, and it's hard to keep a star status that you can promote in general sports from horse racing if you don't keep those stars on the racetrack. So that's nice to see that we'll have the Breeders' Cup. A lot of the Breeders' Cup horses that competed this year may very well come back next year. One horse that is not going to be this year or any other year has been retired, and that is National Treasure. The Bob Baffert horse, National Treasure, has been retired, and so that he will go into the breeding shed. And City of Troy, this is interesting. Now, City of Troy was made to be the next coming of Man of War, et cetera, when he came over here to the United States and run in the Breeders' Cup Classic and was installed as the 5-2 favorite in the Classic. Well, we know how he ran. He didn't like the dirt at all, etc. And now he is, and that exposure of not being the great horse that everybody thought he was, as far as all of the press releases and everything, did affect, I think, his stallion, his stud fee. And so now they say that City of Troy will be standing at Coolmore, Ireland, and his initial stallion fee is going to be $80,500 equated to U.S. money. It'll be $80,500 in U.S. money. And you got to think that if he got close to or even won the Breeders' Cup Classic, that amount of money would have probably tripled or quadrupled. But now he will stand at stud at Coolmore, Ireland, for the equivalent of American U.S. dollars of $80,500. So the Breeders' Cup meant really something to those connections, that's for sure. Today is opening day at Aqueduct. No more Belmont at Aqueduct. It's just plain old Aqueduct. It's the Aqueduct winter meeting. And just talking to Jonathan Hardoon before the show, the Aqueduct winter meeting will probably have the temperature at the racetrack around 78 degrees because it was 80 degrees yesterday in New York. Now, usually at this time of the year in New York, you're looking at your first sprinkles of snow. But instead, the crazy weather that we've been having all year long, today's opening day at Aqueduct, and it's going to be under very nice racing conditions, at least for the temperatures are concerned. on this opening day at Aqueduct for the winter meeting. No stakes races. But tomorrow, on Friday, they're going to kick in with three nice stakes races at Aqueduct for the winter meeting. And that'll be three nice stakes races at Aqueduct on Saturday. That'll be Saturday. They'll have a couple tomorrow as well. But no stakes races on the agenda for opening day at Aqueduct Racecourse. There will be, by the way, some interesting races coming up on Friday. Friday, Delta Downs is going to have four stakes races on Friday. And Remington Park is going to have three stakes races on Friday. So their big stakes race weekend seems to be starting a little bit earlier. And that'll be happening tomorrow. And then we'll ease into Saturday, where Aqueduct will have their three stakes races, one grade three and one grade two amongst them. Laurel Park's going to have three nice stakes races. Del Mar, during this Bing Crosby meeting, as you know, the Bing Crosby meeting, and Bing Crosby was an icon in the entertainment and movie industry in the 40s, 30s, and 40s, etc. And so in keeping in theme with the Bing Crosby meet, a lot of the stakes races now during this fall meeting at Del Mar are named after the movie stars and the giants of entertainment during that period of time. So on Saturday, we'll have the Cary Grant Stakes. And on Sunday at Del Mar, they're going to have the Betty Grable Stakes in honor of those fine movie stars from the past. Woodbine's going to kick in with three stakes races on Saturday, a grade two and two grade threes. And, of course, Aqueduct will have a couple of more stakes races on Sunday as well, including a grade three there. So as we move past the Breeders' Cup and on our way through the fall, there'll be some nice stakes races. There's going to be quite a few big weekends of stakes races left between Churchill Downs. Aqueduct does have, I think, one or two more grade ones a little bit later on in the meet. And, of course, Del Mar will continue with their stakes races as well. So as we often say, yes, Virginia, there is racing after the Breeders' Cup, and we are moving towards another weekend of racing here, watching it and betting it from Las Vegas. Bill D'Amato has got one of his horses failed a drug test. Phil D'Amato's horse did. But as you know, Heisa is suspending and lifting all of the suspensions that they had initially put out. So D'Amato's getting a pass on that. But they're still waiting. And when Heisa finally fine-tunes whatever they're doing over there, they're waiting. And those ones that have been lifted may very well come back to be adjudicated. But for the moment, those who have gotten the little tickets from Heisa are on their suspensions, etc., are on hold. And so we'll wait and see how that develops. And as far as the weather here in Las Vegas, we're colder than New York. 43 degrees outside right now. As I walked through the parking lot, it was nice and crisp and nice out there, 43 degrees. We're only going to get up to 62 today. That's going to be our high. As a matter of fact, that's going to be kind of the window for the rest of the weekend in case you're planning on coming up here to enjoy Las Vegas and all of our amenities here this weekend. We're going to start in the mornings and overnight in the low 40s, and then in the afternoons in the low 60s to mid 60s, maybe a little higher in 60s. But that's the weather pattern for now. We are anticipating no rain, and certainly the winds have gone as well. As far as the rest of the country is concerned, and certainly for racing conditions around the country, it looks pretty good. Right now it's 84 degrees in Miami. Washington, 78 degrees. New York's going to get 73. They say topping out at 73 today. Chicago, a nice, brisk 58 degrees topper. Phoenix, Arizona is going to get 68. As a matter of fact, Phoenix, Arizona is cooler than Southern California and New York. Los Angeles is going to be 75 degrees today there. Of course, no racing at Del Mar. Now, when we were talking about the racing schedule coming up for the Del Mar fall meeting, we were surprised to see that they're going to have no racing on Thanksgiving Day. There would be no racing at Del Mar on Thanksgiving Day. And now, you know, Monday, November 11th, coming up Monday, November 11th, now we're at the seventh day already, so it's coming Monday. There will be some tracks will have holiday racing for Veterans Day, because Monday is Veterans Day. And usually in Southern California, they pick up that holiday as a racing day, but not this year. So Del Mar will not race on Thanksgiving, and they're not going to pick up the Monday holiday racing at Del Mar either for Veterans Day. So kind of a change a little bit in their schedule as well. All right, and don't forget, we got a Thursday night football game, so we got Rich Ang going to tell us who he thinks might win or whatever the case may be for the Thursday night game. We have Jonathan Hardoon standing by, of course. Rich will be here with his football thoughts and, of course, a pick for horse racing. John Lindo will check in from Southern California. And Jerry J is going to be with us to give us some picks on opening day at Aqueduct's winter meeting. So with all of that going on, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll start out with your racing menu and then get to the handicappers. I want to remind you right now that you can go to YouTube. Go to YouTube, put in the search bar South Point Studio. You'll get to that. You get the South Point Studios streaming network. You click on us, and then you can start chatting away in the chat room. It's busy already. You subscribe. Just hit subscribe. It is free, and then you're off and chatting in the chat room. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this almost Friday, Thursday race day show. And now it's time to get your racing menu for today. We remind you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day reflect that, the start times in the Pacific time zone, because that's where we are at here in the Pacific time zone. These will be the first post times that roll out in the race book here at the South Point today. So if you're in the Pacific time zone, no problem. However, if you're in another time zone, and we know you are with all of the platforms that we have covering the world, we know there's plenty of different time zones listening to us. And so in that case, take the time zone you're in and adjust it, tweak it to the Pacific time zone, and you'll get it right. And we don't want you to miss anything, of course, like I miss Mom and Dad. So make sure you adjust your post time if you're not in the Pacific time zone. We begin with opening day at Aqueduct's winter meeting. The opening day at Aqueduct's winter meeting means that it'll be 73 degrees out there. Eight races today at Aqueduct. No stakes races on the card. First post time at the Big A now. We can say it. The Big A is at 9:10. 9:10 this morning at Aqueduct Racecourse. Then next comes Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley. Now, Mahoning Valley Racecourse will have eight races today. Their first post time is at 9:45. 9:45 at Mahoning Valley today, and they have a Pick Six jackpot carryover of $8,840. $8,840 in a first post time Mahoning Valley for their eight races at 9:45. Following that comes Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, I got to tell you, Churchill Downs yesterday was a mess. The track was sloppy. Now, they're going to start out today at Churchill Downs with the conditions sloppy. One of our chatters just put up on the chat the racing conditions at Churchill Downs, so we'll go with him right now with the track labeled sloppy. The turf course is labeled good, and that will affect races 5 and 8. 5 and 8 are both on the turf. Remember, they have limited racing on the turf right now at Churchill Downs. Don't even know if they'll keep them on the turf, but at the moment, the 5th and 8th races scheduled for the turf, and the track will start out in sloppy racing conditions, but if there's no more rain in the area, that track will get fast real quick. Churchill Downs has 9 races, And their first post time at Churchill Downs is set at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. at Churchill Downs today. All right. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 10 races. Their final race will be a quarter horse race. The first nine will be thoroughbreds. And first post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is set at 11:10. Following that comes Woodbine, north of the border. Woodbine has a couple of nice carryovers today. Their pick six jackpot carryover stands at $4,756. However, their super high five jackpot carrier is huge. $205,798 in the super high five jackpot carryover today at Woodbine. Eight races. First post time is at 1:50. Delta Downs is next. Delta Downs will kick in with their eight-race card at 2:50 this afternoon. 2:50 at Delta Downs. Penn National, they got a couple of carryovers there at Penn National. They got a regular pick five carryover, not a jackpot, a regular pick five carryover of $4,322. And their super high five jackpot carryover, that's a jackpot, the super high five jackpot, $4,697. Seven races of Penn National. First post time is at 3:15. Then we go to Charlestown races. Charlestown has a carryover in their pick six jackpot of $6,217. First post time at Charlestown for their eight races, 4 p.m. And then we'll wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington Park has nine races. Their first post time is at 4:30 at Remington Park today. All right. As we said yesterday at Churchill Downs, the track was sloppy, kind of a mess there at Churchill Downs. But I'll tell you, in the last five races at Churchill yesterday, winning prices, fifth race, $3.98, sixth race, $11.44, seventh race, $17.40, the eighth race, $6.18, and the ninth race, $28 even. They put the pick six together yesterday, $29,612.74 for those horses. The winning numbers were 417,292. The first of the pick six horses paid $17.40. The prices I gave you in sequence were the pick five. That pick five paid $16,852.65. And the only rider that visited the winner's circle twice, once or more, which was twice, and that was Irving Monaketa. He won the seventh race and the ninth races yesterday at Churchill Downs. So it's kind of the track was really sloppy, though, yesterday. We go to now to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. And that guy that won two races yesterday was an apprentice. So an apprentice won both races. Was the only winner, only jockey, I should say, with multiple wins on the card.
Yeah. And, of course, your man Brad Cox won the eighth race, which I guess was the feature with Luis Saez aboard, but with Liberal Arts. But it was just a sloppy track, and it seemed like the horses that found their way to the rail in the stretch were able to pass the leaders, and otherwise the leaders at the top of the stretch, nobody was passing anybody, really.
Yeah, it was pretty much speed favoring, like you said, and the inside was the place to be.
All right, now we got Aqueduct Racetrack. They call it the Big A Winter Meeting. It's Belmont's moniker with that is over.
No more Belmont at Aqueduct. Gone. It's Aqueduct at Aqueduct.
It's the Big A, baby, in the wintertime. 73 degrees, though. What the heck's going on?
I don't know. It's a good thing they winterized the track because you're going to need to turn the air conditioning on.
Nothing really changes as far as track conditions or biases or anything else because they're at the same joint. It's now called Aqueduct instead of Belmont Aqueduct, right?
Oh, there's no difference from Belmont at Aqueduct to Aqueduct at Aqueduct. All they do is take the Belmont part off. The track is the same. The horses are the same. The riders are the same. Everything stays the same for a long time now. I guess they're going to be here till they go to Saratoga next year for the Belmont.
However, we will get back to Belmont at Aqueduct sometime in the spring, right?
Correct. I guess so. Yeah. I didn't think of it like that, but you're correct. By the way, they're talking about, and it's a serious talk, that they're going to run the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga and then remain in Saratoga till Labor Day. So they're going to extend that meet a lot. Yeah, that's the rumors coming out and came from a pretty good source. I would not be surprised if they implement that starting next year.
I got to tell you, I think that's a winner. I really do think that's a winner. Look, the Belmont Week last year at Saratoga was a big success. They had a great time there, and it was an exciting race. I know they have to shorten it from a mile and a half to a mile and a quarter, but and it gives you a little kind of a, almost a small little preview of the Travers that comes later on in the meet. That's also at a mile and a quarter, but you know, stringing the days, you went back down to the city and then back down up to Saratoga. It didn't make much sense there, really. But extending the meet from the Belmont weekend through the end of Saratoga at Saratoga, I think, is a winner. I think it's a great idea.
Well, it adds a couple of weeks, and a lot of people up in Saratoga rent their homes, yeah, you know, for to track people. So, but now it's going to become a longer kind of time to be away, and I don't know if people have kids in school. It sounds like it's a great idea. I don't know how it's going to work, you know, so easily. Not only that, you're being asked to spend a couple of extra weeks up in Saratoga as opposed to being downstate. I'm sure they'll get used to it. I'm sure they'll figure it out. And if it works, why not? It's the best place in the world as far as I'm concerned to run. So there are goods, there are pluses and minuses.
Yeah, you know, all I got to say is I think that they'll go back to the original schedule they had when Belmont, you know, the new and beautiful Belmont.
Yeah, in 2 years. When Belmont returned. This is only a stopgap, but yeah, I agree with you.
So I think that, you know, I think they can probably you know, work around it for a couple of years. But I think for the race players, too, you know, staying on that same racetrack, I mean, having a week or two there for Belmont and then going back for a couple of more weeks and then going back, you know, I don't think it's the greatest thing for handicapping either.
No, and it's not good for the track. They got to pick up, pack up, move back, then, you know, pack up, move back. If you have a barn there or whatever it is, some people stayed through the Belmont Stakes through Saratoga. Other guys, the smaller operations, I guess, had to pack up and come back to Belmont. So, again, there are things behind the scenes that, you know, make it a little more difficult for people, but I'm sure they'll work it out.
And I think it'll be worked out for the benefit, I think, of the players, which, after all, we are the people who ultimately pay the bills anyhow, and get some nice racing going on there. As far as the Big A opening today, I know this is probably a question that I shouldn't be asking today since it's going to be 73 degrees out there. But when it gets into the winter time and it gets into the freezing part of the year down there at Aqueduct, is there any kind of tweaking or changing that you do in handicapping the horses? Like, I'm sure that horses, they're animals, so they're like people. Some people like warm, hot weather. Other people like the cold weather. I know that the horses in particular like a colder weather than hotter weather. That I do know because in spending some time in Kentucky and around Lexington as I had in my younger days, you know, when it was snowing out and all that, the horses, especially in the pastures, etc., they go to the highest part of the pasture and stand there and just have the wind and the snow blow on them. They loved it, and so I would think that would be the same with the racing in at Aqueduct.
Horses love the cold weather for the most part, like you said, you know, and you're right. The only difference is that a few years back they changed the aqueduct surface. They kind of winterized it. They got rid of the inner track, and whatever chemicals or whatever they were using on the inner track, they transferred and used it on the main track now. Mm-hmm. So basically all year round they're running on the same track. The question is, does it freeze up? And when it gets really, really cold, I guess it freezes, and obviously that's conducive to help speed horses. But we haven't had a lot of those days in the last couple of years. But again, every year is different. But the track itself is a winterized surface.
I would have to say that it had to be really, really way below freezing before the track freezes up, because those chemicals are designed to do the job of keeping the track from freezing at the freezing temperature of 32 degrees, et cetera. So it would have to be pretty cold for that. And then, of course, they can run the tractors over it and keep renovating it to keep the track from freezing up like they do in other places. They used to do that at Turfway Park before they got the synthetic there. All right, so we got opening day at the Big A. What are we looking at?
All right, Ralph, let's look at the seventh race today, and I really like a horse, and I like a horse that's listed at a price. I like the number four horse in here, Can't Fool Me. This is a 5-year-old mare from the Horatio De Paz barn. Draw a line through her last race. It was her first race when she came off of Lasix. She didn't run well. Her previous 4 races, all good enough to get the job done here. Ricardo Santana aboard to ride, and he's ridden her in the last 3 races, including a win and a second. She's listed at 10-1 on the morning line. Number 4, Can't Fool Me, wins today's 7th race out of Churchill Downs.
So you are discounting her performance in her last race and going before that, right?
Correct. She was without Lasix last time out. She was in a stake race. Now she's back in an allowance race. So she goes back on Lasix today, and that will make the difference.
So all systems are go, not only with the relief in class, but also getting that Lasix back. So in the 7th race, number 4, Can't Fool Me, the 4 at 10-1 with Ricardo Santana aboard in the 7th race is your pick at opening day at the Big A, the 7th race, the 4 horse. All right, we going to Churchill to do something?
We're going to Churchill. Look at race number 7, 6 furlongs on the main track. And I like the number 1 horse in here, Austin Cruz. This is a 2-year-old colt who had 1 start back in May, but he ran a really a big figure for a 2-year-old in May. He's been freshened up ever since. Keith Asmussen, son of Steve Asmussen, looking for his first win of the meet. It's going to come today. Number 1, Austin Cruz, wins today's 7th race out of Churchill Downs.
And ironically, if you looked at the race, his brother, Eric Asmussen,
right next door to
is breaking on post number 2 on a horse. Now, I'm wondering, is Eric's a horse also trained by Steve Asmussen?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
They get most of their mounts for their dad.
So, in other words, both sons breaking next to each other in the 7th race, both those horses are trained by Steve Asmussen?
Correct. Keith Asmussen, 0-28 so far. Eric Asmussen has 5 wins at the meet. So I'm guessing he's going to try to help the other kid get a win.
So maybe we ought to bet the Asmussen exacto box, the 1-2-2-1. And he's safe.
That's for you to do, Ralph. I'm just giving you the winner. You can choose who you want to use.
All right. So in the 7th race, you like number 1, Austin Cruz, with Keith Asmussen aboard for Steve, trying to get his son off the schneid there at Churchill Downs, and his brother will be on the 2 horse. We're going to bet the win price, the win on number 7, Austin Cruz, the 7th race, number 1. Right?
Correct.
7th race.
Yes, sir.
Did I say the 7?
Yeah, but it's all right.
It's the 7th race, number 1. Number 1 in the 7th. Got it. You have full sheets, by the way, for opening day at the Big A in Churchill Downs, right?
Correct. JONHARDOON.com.
I got to ask you one more question. The track is going to start off sloppy, but if there is some rain clouds in the area there, but if the track stays sloppy or dries out, it doesn't matter, right?
Well, the horse is bred for a wet top and bottom, so I don't think it will affect him.
Okay,
correct.
Good enough. Thank you, Jonathan, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
Got it, my man. All right, we'll be back with Rich Eng to talk about maybe his pick somewhere in the racing world today and, of course, what's going to happen on Thursday Night Football. So don't go away. We will be right back.
Tunnel Stowers helped so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. a relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Thursday, and at this time of the year, Thursday means an NFL football game this evening. And now we're going to go to Rich Yang to get a thought about the pigskins picks before the horsehide picks. And we get Richie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Richie, what about tonight's contest? The Bengals and the Baltimore, team. They're going to go at it. And they are two high-octane offenses there, and we'll see how the defenses do.
It's really a fun divisional rivals in the central division of the AFC. You got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. They play twice a year, Ralph, and for the past few years, they've been two of the best teams in that division. They've had some really epic matches. This year, the game, this first game is in Baltimore. The Ravens are favored by 6.5. The totals have been bouncing between 52.5 and 53. Joe Burrow's coming off a 5-touchdown game last week, and he was very impressive. But a stat I read about the Bengals are out there, 4 wins this year. All 4 of those teams right now are 2-7. In other words, all 4 of those teams have the identical record of 2-7. So they've beaten up on some bad teams. They've lost to a lot of good teams. Baltimore's been super impressive. Derrick Henry running the football like he's 22 years old, or he's back at Alabama again. Yeah. And Lamar Jackson's having another MVP type of season. So as far as a pick for tonight, usually I don't give out totals. Totals have not been my strength, but the way both teams have been playing, I got to go for the over, because to cover 53, 52.5, you need 7 touchdowns and a couple of field goals. And the way these two offenses are playing, I think 7 touchdowns at least is in the card. So let's go for the over 53 Bengals Ravens.
All right, so you just want to see a lot of good action going back and forth today. It really doesn't matter who wins the game as long as it achieves the over of the 53, you say?
Yeah, 53. I've seen some 52.5, but 53 is a more common number right now.
All right. Well, in order to get to 53, both teams have to participate in putting up points, correct?
You would think so. I mean, unless, say, if one team opens up the 28-10 lead at halftime or something like that, then it kind of opens up the back end of the game for the team that's behind. They can't afford to run the football and, try to matriculate the ball down the field. They got to get chunk plays and try to score points. So even if the game gets a little out of hand, as long as there's enough time for the team that's losing to rally, I think that's a doable number.
Then one would think that possibly, if that's going to be the scenario on how the game lays out, with 6.5, I'd love to see it get to 7. I don't think it'll get to 7. With 6.5, you would have to think that maybe you could take the Bengals if you wanted to parlay it to the over, because if they're going to score points, as well as Baltimore scoring points, and they could be very well within the number, the 6.5.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. That's why I was kicking that around last night before sending my pick into the station last night, Ralph. But the thing about if you're going to bet the favorite or bet the underdog here in Vegas, and this is probably true in a lot of locations now, is if you want to bet the favorite, typically you want to bet early. If you want to bet the dog, you bet late, because as the game gets closer to kickoff, usually people bet more of the money on the favorites. So, if you're trying to get to the 7, you might want to wait till as close to the kickoff as possible, see if that Raven money flies in late.
Yeah, seven and three are hard numbers to get to, though, if they're on either side of that. So we'll wait and see about that. But your official pick is over the 53, sit in front of the TV set and root for points.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I do have a heart, a bit of my heart with the Cincinnati Bengals, Rob. You and I were at Turfway Park, and the Bengals had some great teams with Boomer Esiason, Chris Collinsworth, Icky Woods, and they went to the Super Bowl and lost just a brutal way in the last few seconds to the San Francisco 49ers. So, so we saw some really good Bengal teams under Coach Sam Weish.
Yeah, we
so,
did.
So I still have a rooting interest, but in this game, it's going to be my Vegas blood. I just want to make money out of the game.
Okay, you got it. Let's make money at the horses. Where are we going?
Let's go tonight to Remington Park. I heard you talking about how they're going to have some stakes races this weekend. But Remington in race number two, Ralph, it's a mile and 70 yards going with a claiming 10,000. At this point of the year at a lot of racetracks, a lot of trainers are kind of putting the four sale sign, the shingles up front, a lot of their horses. The number one, T-Bone's Trick, is dropping in for 10,000 the starter allowance races, draws the rail. I think this horse should be able to get a ground-saving trip and rally late. The one, T-Bone's Trick, race two.
All right, you got a second race at Remington. Now, the first post time is 4:30. Second race should go between 4:50 and about 5 o'clock, just before they kick off the football game, by the way, Pacific time. So in the second race, number one, T-Bone's Trick, the one T-Bone's Trick in the second race at Remington. And, Richie, let's get that horse home, and let's get the points up in the football game, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. We're going to wrap up this Almost Friday show with, of course, John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz to wrap it up. So don't go away. We will be right back.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
The field for the biggest derby of the season at Los Alamitos is set for Sunday, November 10th, the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Super Derby. The field is led by top qualifier BP Cartel Policy, as he looks for his third graded derby of the year. Plus champion filly Dark Enemy. She's going after her fourth Grade 1 win. Plus the undefeated Stanley Cartel, the outstanding Boardwalk, and the Grade 1 winner Let's Leave. It's a field of super sophomores. The Los Alamitos Super Derby, Sunday, November 10th.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, last segment of today's Almost Friday Thursday show, and now we go out to Southern California where Mr. John Lindo is standing by. John, good morning. We're okay now? Okay, say it again, John.
You got me now, Ralph? How you doing?
We got you now. All right, Southern California, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty at the Del Mar meet. The Breeders' Cup is behind us, etc. And, of course, during this Bing Crosby meet, we get a lot of the stakes races that are named after superstar movie stars from the past in the 30s and 40s. And one of them comes up, of course, on Saturday with the Cary Grant Stakes. But now that all the horses are gone, etc., from Breeders' Cup, etc., we're getting into the nitty-gritty here at Del Mar. And the Cary Grant, which is for three-year-olds and up at seven furlongs on the dirt, saw only five horses entered in it. Are we having a little bit of a problem with the horse population?
It's always going to be lighter at this meet because, in general, the stables are all based at Santa Anita. You don't get as many barns, nearly as many barns, stabling at Del Mar on track. So, you know, unless they're really planning to go and run in a race down here, you don't get those last minute, I'll throw this horse in the entry box and see what happens type of things. So, you know, we're going to see, I think tomorrow, 8 races, I think just 51 horses. A little better on Saturday. I think there's 69 horses in the 9 races there. So, you know, almost 8 a race in there. So there are going to be days where it's going to be light, especially on the dirt. And that carry grant is for cowbreds only, so it's restricted. So that limits the amount, you know, the types of horses that can go in there.
Well, you know, what about the I think the Betty Grable is on Sunday. I don't think they entered for that horse yet, a race yet, right?
No, we enter Sundays today, and that race is also for cowbreds. That's the filly and mare version of the race that they're running for the boys on uh-huh. Saturday. And I would expect that to be relatively light as well. I think fillies like Chismosa will probably go in there, and I can't think of her name off the top of my head, the filly that from Northern California for Steve Speck, who's a nice filly. She's supposed to run as well.
Yeah, I think I can't remember it either, but I think that horse, she won some the stakes race down at Santa Anita recently, right?
Yeah.
During the meet? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. John?
You caught me off guard there.
Well, I caught myself off guard because I can't remember the horse's name either, but I remember betting on her and winning that particular day, that's for sure. And she does. She'll compete well down in Southern California. John, they're not racing on Thanksgiving Day, and that is usually the kickoff weekend of the turf races, right? The Hollywood turf races?
Yeah, the turf festival will still be going on, and the good part about it is we take that Thursday off. There was a couple stakes races on traditional on Thanksgiving. I think they're going to move the red carpet stakes, which is a mile and three eighths, to Friday. Mm-hmm. And there's one other stakes that are moved to the weekend. So that weekend will be loaded and a lot of grass racing there. And hopefully we'll get some East Coast participation. Usually we'll see a Graham Motion horse or two show up. And, you know, Chad Brown likes to run during that time of year.
Yep.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
So we should see a few of those type of horses. And those make for some pretty good races.
And a lot of racetracks will pick up a special holiday when it drops in on a Monday, and Veterans Day is coming up this Monday, but we see that Del Mar will not have a racing card on Monday.
No, and I just think that has to do with the current horse population in Southern California, Ralph. Maybe mm-hmm. that's why we're not racing on Thanksgiving Day, and we don't pick up that holiday Monday. Right now, the 3 days a week is about what we can do based on what we have in Southern California. You know, that's why the ship and win during the summer is so important. And as we get to the beginning of the new year, as you retire some fillies and mares to the breeding shed, mm-hmm. it gets tough. So we need horses to come on out. We need a reason for them to come out and participate in California.
Well, I know that we're back in business tomorrow, and the Lindo Report, of course, will be here at the South Point for the weekend, as it always is, for Del Mar. It'll be available here this coming weekend. And, John, you'll be back in business with giving us a selection or two on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, we'll do Del Mar this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'll add an additional day or two of some other tracks next week. We just had Breeders' Cup meltdown relaxation and catch up this week early, so getting refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah, my to-do list on Monday and Tuesday of this week was zero because I had a lot of couch time after all. It really is exhausting, not only mentally but physically, with the highs and lows that you experience as a race player during championship weekend like Breeders' Cup. But we'll be back in business tomorrow and crank it up for the weekend. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Del Mar.
All right, you got it, my man. And now we go to Jerry Jackowicz standing by, and I'm sure, Jerry, you got your second win going as well.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. I'm sort of back in the swing of it, feeling pretty good.
All right, now
you're right, you know, championship weekend, you're doing all, you know, you're really invested, you're really deeply involved, and it takes its toll, particularly as you get a little older. So.
Yes, I said that's the key word there. As you get older, it takes a little bit more of a toll. Take the moniker of Belmont off now. It's just plain old Big A in the wintertime, huh?
Yeah, it's Big A. You know, me, it's just wherever they're racing, that's what it is. They can call it what they want.
Yeah, they can call it what they want. Your numbers are your numbers. But 73 degrees today at Aqueduct is not getting usually by now. You know, you see a few snowflakes around New York, but it's crazy weather.
Yeah.
And it's going to be it'll be a great day of racing today at the Big A for opening day.
Yeah. Well, you know, but there's no global warming. So.
Yeah. And also, now, obviously, It's just the name that changes. They've been running at Aqueduct, so there's
no... Yeah, no, everything's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same. The power page, you know, it says Aqueduct on the top of it. That's what it said in September. That's what it said in... Because that's where they're running.
You named the track and not the meet, right?
Correct.
Okay, let's go to the track.
I don't want anybody to get confused.
That's right. Let's go to the track.
Most importantly, I don't want me to be confused.
Well, that helps, because once you're confused, we get confused. But in any case, we are now at the Big A, and we'll take some picks. By the way, I want to wait a minute. I want to congratulate you a lot on that trifecta, on the key horse, and then the link ups that happened to fall into not only an exacta payoff but a trifecta payoff. I believe it was on either Saturday or Sunday. A nice payoff. The 50-cent trifecta paid the winner paid $20 and change, and the trifecta, right. The 50-cent trifecta, Jerry, paid $147 and change. So nice call there.
I'm well aware.
Yeah. So am I.
No, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm in such a good spirit.
And maybe that's why I'm not jumping on you today. So let's get started.
Okay, let's go to the third today. Our play today is Maggie's Pals in the third. She's a filly. She's in the one post. She's carrying the one saddle cloth for Jimmy Ryerson. It does pretty well this time of year, in particular at Aqueduct. I always thought he was a pretty decent trainer. In the summertime, sort of in and out for me, tried it with some better horses. Came back in October and showed really a lot of improvement. It's a pretty fast turnaround, so you must like the form on the horse. I'd give her a shot at 7. You know, 5-2 or better, I think the 1 is a pretty reasonable key. Sorry about that. I'll take the 1 over the 2, 4, 6, and 9. Reverse 2, 4, 6, and 9 back over the 1. But the 1, that's our feature play today. And at 5-2 or better, a pop-out key as well.
Well, I do want to remind everybody that one of the favorites on the morning line, not the favorite, but one of the favorites there at 9-2 on the morning line, Malu, has been scratched. So the 3 Malu is out. That helps out, I'm sure. So in the third race, you like the 1 Maggie's Palace. Number 1 Maggie's Palace is the key. That's the win bet. The link ups include numbers 2 Maggie T, number 4 Bustin' Bay, number 6 Brown Sugar Babe, and number 9 Moisenko. So in the race, the 1 over 2, 4, 6, and 9, and reverse, the 1 is the play in the third at Aqueduct. Got a bonus play for me or no?
No, that's it for today, Rob. It's a small card. I can't give it all away for free.
Okay. Well, let me take a look now real quick. You got 1, 2 star horses on the sheet. You got a couple of pop-out keys and a couple of Vs on there. So, folks, get the power pages for today at the Big A. All righty. And you'll be back in business, of course, tomorrow with Del Mar, and the race is there. In reflecting with the Breeders' Cup, I know that we talked about your thoughts about the Breeders' Cup yesterday, but if you were a voter in the Eclipse Awards for Horse of the Year right now, and I'm just conversation, who would you give it to?
I think the right horse would be Torpedo Anna. For Horse of the Year. She's an unusually good 3-year-old. I mean, she ran Fierceness for everything he was worth in the Travers. I mean, she had the best of it in that trip, but she really put out. She's so much better than any of the other fillies or mares of this year.
Oh, certainly.
You know, I could see why someone would, why she would be the right call.
Well, we know
to me, the horse that really ran the best race of the year is probably Fierceness.
Oh, yeah. And for all the reasons you stated late yesterday, yeah, I do understand that. As far as we know, she's going to get the Eclipse Award for the best filly or mare. But she might take down Horse of the Year, too. We'll wait and see. That's for sure. Don't forget, folks, Jerry James.
I can make a case for her. I mean,
I think there's a lot of people going to make a case for her. It may be a lot. It may be just that simple. You know, I don't think this vote's going to be something that is going to be.
Well, there's no. It's not like there's a clear horse. You know, we had 3 different winners of the Triple Crown. We had all these. You know, nobody won 2 or 3 times. You know, we had.
Yep.
Fiercest won the.
Yep.
from the Florida Derby and the Travers, it's better.
All right. Well, that's just food for thought. In the meantime, one more thing to say before we get out of here and be back on Friday, and then Jerry's going to say it.
Okay. Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.